Boise State Athletic Director Kurt Apsey. Now, last week, Kurt, we weren't here at Bronco Motors Nissan, and you are wherever you were. You were on the way to Louisiana with the Boise State football team for the season opener there in Lafayette, Louisiana. We ultimately were able to talk to you Friday at 5 o'clock from the team hotel, but the experience, of course, worked out well on the field. What did you learn and what did you see when you looked around at the Lafayette fans and the temperature and the weather for that game, Kurt? There was a lot of things to take in there, wasn't there?
Well, I don't know if I've ever been as hot, that's for sure. I was just very, very impressed with our team and its preparation and our trainers and our team docs and getting those guys ready to play. And, you know, quite honestly, I was a bit surprised at how well our team reacted to that weather, Jeff, because I think it was just, as you know, really, really tough conditions. And I think our guys handled it well. They were prepared. And kudos certainly to our trainers and our staff for being able to get those guys ready to play physically, because that was certainly a tough environment in terms of the weather and the heat and the humidity. And, boy, it was overall for four quarters just a really great effort by our entire team.
Kurt, I know you visited with their athletic department people as well. It was an early kickoff, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 o'clock Central. They can hold almost double what they ultimately got for that game.
Yeah.
In talking to them, was it a little bit of the floods, a little bit of the kickoff time, a little bit of the weather, or was it a lot of the kickoff time?
You know, I really don't know. I I wouldn't be surprised if it was the heat. I mean, I was down on that field at 10:30 and doing some interviews and visiting with our coaches, and I mean, it was really, really hot. And I mean, thank God it was at 11. Can you imagine that game at 3 or 4? You know, and I know that when I was talking to Scott Farmer, he's, you know, they're used to playing at 6 or 7 at night, and I'm sure a night game there is a lot easier on everybody. But I don't know the reason behind their fans maybe not showing up as much as they anticipated, and, you know, maybe that wasn't a bad thing for us. It was relatively, I think, quiet in terms of us being on the road, and you know, our guys were focused, and obviously we saw that through the entire game, and just proud of our guys. Great effort and great trip, and hopefully can have some momentum going into Saturday against Washington State.
Kurt Apsey, Boise State's athletic director, joining us here as we ask the AD. You can hashtag ask the AD through your Twitter account. We'll get to that question, or hit us on the Commercial Tire text line at 424-9300. But Kurt, looking at the game, it was a win for the program. And there was also all of this talk about blackouts and what state network had the game. And I looked at my own DirecTV feed, and since I had a certain level of subscription, I got some New York, I think it was a Fox affiliate, or was it Fox Printer?
I don't know who it
was. Some affiliate had the broadcast. It wasn't blacked out. Have you heard or talked to anybody about what ultimately did occur there?
I've made a couple calls, Jeff. I haven't gotten a response. I'm wondering if that was some black market channel that we don't know about. Because, I heard that from a few folks that had that channel through some regional network. And
yeah, I've got it. Yeah.
You know, when we reached out to them, they flat out said you're not going to be able to watch this on television. So I'm happy for the people that kind of figured that out, but quite honestly, not a lot of people complaining. I think people, you know, found a way to watch it, and I hope that a lot of people got an opportunity to watch us, because they were dialed in. That was a really, really good football team, I think, that we played from the beginning, and we just started off so well, I think, and kind of took the air out of their efforts, and you know, from the first minute on, it was a pretty dominant performance. So whatever contributed to that, I'm happy. And like I said, I hope that momentum carries over to 48 hours from now.
Kurt, how do you personally take in a game, not where you sit, but how do you analyze it? You're a sports guy. You know football. You can say that was a dumb play. That was a great play. Why didn't they do this? Or do you just give yourself 2 or 3 hours to relax and enjoy the moment, because you don't get very many of those moments?
Well, it's, you know, I tell this to people all the time, Mike. I really don't get a chance to watch the game at home. I miss a lot of the action just because I'm trying to spend some time with all the people, you know, around and in the Stickles Sky Center on game day that support our program. And I probably average about 20 or 25 minutes of watching the actual game at home. So when I go on the road, you know, after doing all the things that I need to do before kick, I'm able to actually sit up in the visiting AD box and watch the game. So I'm a lot more dialed into what we're doing when we're on the road than I am at home. And that's one of the reasons I really enjoy actually going on the trip, other than being with the coaches and the team and everything. But it gives me a chance to actually watch us play. And, you know, we didn't miss a beat. I thought Brett was terrific. Our offensive line played great. Our defense stepped up. You know, no mishaps on special teams from what I saw. And overall, just a great performance by our staff and our coaches and our team. So it was good.
Well, you have a chance to be in Albertson Stadium with everybody else for a opening game. And last note, there was a couple of thousand seats to be sold. I've always talked about, hey, there's always going to be X amount of seats that are onesies,
yep,
or are one-off somewhere. Is there an approximate number that you guys know is just, there's just one seat left in the middle of this row, and unless somebody wants one seat, we're probably not going to sell that seat? Is there a total number of those kind of stragglers?
Yeah, there's probably 300 or 400 individual seats, Jeff, all around that stadium that are sometimes hard to fill. And, you know, we might help out some staff members with that, or we might look to some sponsors that are looking for an extra ticket here or there. So,
sure.
You've got 300 or 400 there. I think last count we had about 1,400 tickets left, but included in that number is still the possibility of someone buying a mini plan or a season ticket. Still, you know, we still got people buying season tickets. So we're going to wait till the very, very last minute. And on average, usually on game day, you know, we'll sell 1,000 tickets. So I'm pretty confident by tomorrow at game time we'll be sold out for the game on Saturday.
Kurt Apsey's joining us, Boise State's athletic director, talking about the home opener with Washington State. When you have a team like Washington State, Kurt, that you're playing, and I don't know if there's a reciprocal game going back to Pullman, is there?
There is, yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
Does that influence the number of tickets that you will accommodate them in Albertson Stadium so that you get a certain number when you go to Pullman?
No, there's usually a set amount in both stadiums. I don't know if you're, well, of course you guys remember back when we went to Oregon, they give 2,000 tickets to the visiting team. And, you know, when our fans heard that there were only 2,000 tickets available for that game, they started going on StubHub. You know, I think a lot of our fans actually bought tickets from Oregon fans that weren't interested in going to the game, because we certainly had more than 2,000 there. But
wow,
it's usually a set amount in the stadium, because, you know, you build your season ticket packages around that, and there's certain seating. And for the most part, when we have teams in Albertson Stadium, you know, usually the visiting team doesn't use all their tickets. In this case, Washington State picked up most of their tickets for this game, and that's probably due to a lot of alums and people that are affiliated with that institution that are here living in Boise. So they used most of theirs, but we don't determine that number based on what we get at their place. That's kind of a predetermined number.
What is the number, and does it vary, Kurt, that how many Washington State would get versus, you know, Wyoming?
No, it's the same, and the only difference is that, you know, come midweek, usually we have a good idea, because what teams will do is they'll turn back the tickets that they don't sell, and then we'll open those up to Boise State fans.
Is it 1,000 or less? Or
I think it's more, Jeff. I knew you were going to ask me that question. I want to say 2,500.
Woo. Okay, it's a little higher than I even
yeah,
thought.
Yeah. It used to be 1,800, and then the Mountain West kind of changed that a little bit. And, you know, it ranges. We can play a little bit more with that number when we're playing conference opponents, because we kind of know what they're looking for based on, you know, what their history is. A team like maybe Utah State or Nevada, where they've got fans that, you know, or maybe even Colorado State, that can actually get in a car and drive up and see the game, they tend to take a few more tickets. But if you get a San Diego State or a San Jose, not that, you know, their fans aren't passionate about their team, but that's a long way to come. So we always can kind of gauge, you know, what that number might be, and then Anita Garrick-Baby in our ticket office will open up those seats midweek for our fans to purchase. So it's kind of a game-by-game basis. We just kind of judge it on history and it's been a while since we've played Washington State, but their fans are everywhere, and so there'll be a lot of their colors in those sections, and we know they're coming, and you know, it's always good when you can sell a bunch of tickets to the visiting team as well.
Well, I imagine you've got to forecast that, because if you know you've got San Jose State coming to Albertson Stadium, and there's no way in the world they're going to need 2,500 seats,
right,
you know that the moment you schedule it so that you can kind of keep selling, right? Because
no,
you don't want to
no,
just turn them loose on a Wednesday and have to sell 2,500 seats.
Yeah, we'll definitely open up those seats, and that'll be a tough game for us to sell. It's I believe that's a November game, isn't it? That's later in the season, and there'll be tickets available for that game. And what we'll sometimes do is we'll put together some discount tickets in those areas at the very last minute, so the fans get a chance maybe to come to the game that maybe normally wouldn't at that time during the year and at that time of kickoff, and we just kind of play it by ear. But we would know that in advance, that there's going to probably be more tickets for that game available.
All right, don't want to keep you too long, but we certainly have to talk about the Lyle Smith statue process, how it was conceived and then executed. And today, of course, was the, I guess, it all culminated today. But how did this start coming about, Kurt? How was this brought up, and then how was it executed?
Well, it was a while back, actually. Michelle Bourgeau, who used to be in charge of the Varsity B, was talking about it maybe even a couple years ago, and there was a big cost to it. I obviously wasn't at least at that point making the call on whether we should do it or not. And when I came back, it gained some momentum, and we had some former players of Lyle's that were really interested in supporting it. And at that time, Ben Victor, the sculptor, wasn't on campus, and so when we started talking to Ben about this, it just kind of got people riled up and ready to go. And, Lyle's 100th birthday and 30 years on the blue, I mean, it just all seemed to kind of tie together. And so we put together a campaign and started reaching out to some folks and figured out that we could find a way to pay for it. And I don't know if you two were out there. I apologize if I didn't see or say hello. But this morning was just incredible. It was an unbelievable event. It was so great to see Lyle and his family out there. And, I was just proud that I was able to be a part of it.
What did Lyle have to say, quietly or privately, or maybe he took a turn at the podium? What was his reaction?
He didn't take a turn at the podium. He's overwhelmed by all this, and it wasn't just the statue. It was the 100th birthday and all the stuff that we did leading up to that, and including his family and a lot of guys that played for him and worked for him were involved in this. And I was worried we were going to tire him out, to be honest with you. He's been going crazy with all this. And he was more than anything just overwhelmed and extremely appreciative, which shouldn't surprise anybody, just because of the type of guy that he is and the type of person that he is. And I think he was humbled without a doubt, and was very, very thankful and appreciative, and it was a great day for him. At least I hope it was.
Kurt, that statue itself was absolutely gorgeous, the way it was done, and I love the backstory with the BSU professor. Sometimes statues come out and they look like a big chunk of metal, and they don't really look like the person they're supposed to represent. This one absolutely nailed it. What's the backstory there in terms of the conversations you guys had and how you ended up with the Boise State artist involved?
Well, Ben came to us with some other work, and Dr. Custer actually started the conversation with Ben. Ben was actually brought into the fold when the Steve Appleton statue was done, and at that time Ben wasn't currently on campus, and I think the president was just so impressed with his work and thought, hey, what would you ever consider maybe open up a studio in Boise? He's a real outdoorsman, loves hiking and fishing and biking and exercising, and that conversation just kind of catapulted into Ben coming on campus. And so when we went to him with the Lyle Smith deal, he had kind of heard the history of Lyle and what he'd done here, and it was a no-brainer for him. And then in terms of what we chose for the statue, that photo is iconic, as you guys know, and it was very, very evident to everybody that was involved that the statue needed to be that, and Ben was overly excited to do it. And Mike, were you out there today?
No, but I watched your Facebook Live thing, by the way, which is very well done and very cool.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, if you do get a chance on Saturday, if you're out there, just go by and take a look. I mean, the detail of that and the clipboard, there's actually a play drawn up on the clipboard on that statue, and it's just an amazing piece and obviously very expensive and could not have been done with a lot of people that played for Lyle or, you know, had run across him in life somehow, and just people stepped up, and it's totally paid for from private giving. The last gift came in yesterday to finish it off, and the timing couldn't have been more perfect.
The only thing I didn't like about it, the fact that you guys were able to keep it a secret. You know, we in the media don't like that kind of stuff. So so now I have to ask, got any big secrets planned for Saturday?
Oh, right.
Absolutely. Yeah, a bunch of trick plays. Yeah, that's what we're doing. You know, no secrets. We're going to obviously honor the team that was picked for the team for the blue, the 30 years. And I think we've got, I'm going to guess, 8 to 10 of them actually physically coming back. And we'll make a presentation to those guys. And that's probably going to be, other than the game, you know, and everything else that goes around it, that's going to be kind of a special moment for those guys. So that'll be a neat deal. I'm excited to see them down on the field at halftime.